Thank you, worship team. If the children want to go up to the children's area, we've got teachers up there willing to work with you and teach you. Miss Pellingham was a preschool teacher. And she was talking about the 4th of July and what a special day it was. She says, because of this day, you are free. And a little boy spoke up and said, I'm not free, I'm four. We're in Hebrews, and the whole book of Hebrews has to do with us maturing, us getting to a different place in our life than we were prior. Every one of us need to mature. We don't need to be free all our lives. We need to grow up. And so this book of Hebrews is teaching us, helping us to take the next steps to maturity. And today, as part of that, we're closing the book of Hebrews. It's only been a year and a half. But we're closing the book of Hebrews. I know you're happy. Woo! What's next? I'm still praying about that. I think I know, but I'm not going to say because I'm still kind of in the... I really want to go to the book of Acts and do some things in Acts. And so I'm hoping that's where the Lord allows me to go. And so actually... not this next week, but the next week, I'm going to just take a week off, take my little trailer up into the woods and be along with the Lord so that I can be prepared for what God has for you, okay? So if you can't find me, not this week, I'll be around. But the next week, you might not find me. I'll be out of cell range. So I've got a little teardrop trailer I'm going to take up in the woods and just kind of camp out with the Lord that week. We're in Hebrews chapter 13, and we're looking at verses 20 and 21. I'm going to get out of the way so you can see this. We're going to be talking about today opportunities to serve. We're going to be talking about you're born to serve. We're going to be talking about a way that you can't... did you know that you can't grow in your Christian life until you start putting into somebody else's life? Did you know that? I mean, you can grow to a certain point, but you can't grow to where God wants you to unless you are investing in someone else. And so this is part of what he's going to be talking about today. But before we go any further, let's read this passage of Scripture. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word and read along with me if you would. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. This morning, we are privileged to have Mick and Gloria Springer with us this morning. And you may be seated. As a matter of fact, I moved here and learned about Mick, and I thought, man, I want Mick to be my mentor. And then he moved away. Yeah, too big. He's like, no, I can't do that. I need all the help I can get. But Mick, it's a privilege to have you this morning. Would you pray for me as I begin to preach this morning?
Father in heaven, we pray that you pour out your that
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mick. How long were you at the Lutheran Church here?
18 years.
Okay. God has used him in some miraculous and marvelous ways. And Tillamook was privileged to have him here for those 18 years. Still hear reports from people, I was at his church. And da-da-da. Anyway, let's get into the Word. So he talks about in verse 20, he says, now may the God of peace, may the God of peace. I want to bring to your attention two things regarding God's peace. One is that there's a God of peace, and it's only by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior that we have peace with God. Scripture teaches us that before you met Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you were enemies with God, that you were in conflict with Him, that you were striving against Him. But when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you were at peace with Him. If you haven't received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're still at conflict with Him and you're still at war with Him. And I've known people throughout their lives who war against God. Guess who wins? God wins. You can't fight that. I've struggled. How many of you have ever struggled with God before? Who won? Some of you may be still struggling with God. Some of you may still be struggling with whether I want to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And until you make that decision to follow Christ, you're still going to be in this conflict with God. He's not going to say, oh, I like your way better than my way. I think your way is a better way than my way. He's not going to say that. He's telling us in His Word that Jesus is the only way. As a matter of fact, as we read this passage of Scripture, God says here in Hebrews that God raised Him, this God of peace, raised Jesus from the dead. The power of God raised Jesus from the dead. He also, Scripture says, ratified an eternal covenant with us. Isn't that, that's amazing to me, that the God of the universe wants to make a covenant with me. That He wants to make a binding agreement with me. Isn't that crazy? The awesome, wonderful, marvelous Creator God says, Brad, I want to make a covenant with you. Yeah, exactly. What? What's up with that? Who am I that you want to make a covenant with? Well, it's because I love you. It's because I created you. It's because I've got some wonderful things in store for you. Therefore, I want to make a covenant with you. One day when I was 21 years old, I agreed to the covenant. And I began following the Lord. You can have that same covenant with God. It's for every single one of you. Everyone. By the blood of Jesus Christ, He made you a child of God. He received you into His kingdom. Because of this covenant, you have eternal life. Say, eternal life.
Eternal life.
Say it again.
Eternal life.
One more time.
Eternal life.
How does that feel?
Great.
Woo, man. I love it. It's not just a temporary life. It's an eternal life. It's through this covenant that God gives us eternal life. By the God of peace, He has ratified this covenant with you and me. What a marvelous, marvelous blessing that we have. Now we can have peace with God when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Many of you here today have peace with God. But there's also the peace of God that not all Christians walk in. The peace of God comes to us when we are in obedience to the Father, when we are surrendered to Him, when our will becomes His, when His will becomes our will, and we are able to walk with Him, when we are able to do that, then the peace of God that passes all understanding, that guards our heart and minds in Christ Jesus, is ours. How much peace do you think God has? How much peace? Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give unto you." In this world you're going to have trouble, but I'm going to leave you my peace. How much peace do you think Jesus has? If you had their peace, do you think you would know it? They want to give you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants to give you His peace. God the Father said, "I'm going to leave you peace. My peace will guard your heart." The Holy Spirit says, "I've got some fruit I want to leave you." Peace is one of them. How much peace do you think the Holy Spirit has? Do you think if you had the peace of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, do you think you would know it? That's the peace of God. And that's what He wants us to walk in daily, moment by moment. Guess what? I lost my peace this morning. A few times, actually. Come to think of it. But do you know what I have to do in order to get my peace back? Lord, forgive me for those thoughts I had. Lord, forgive me for those words I said. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive. And you know what God says? Yes, I'll forgive you. Have your peace back. Have my peace back. You can walk as a child of God, peace with God, without the peace of God. Does that make sense? And when you're not walking in the peace of God, then it's because there's something going on in your life that needs to be addressed. Frustration, irritation, whatever it may be, anger, bitterness, hatred, fear, you name it. And God basically says, you cannot have my peace unless you're trusting me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Jeremiah 23:11. What's it say? No, that's not the one. Yeah, that's what it says. That's not the right reference. There's a passage of Scripture, it'll come to me in a minute, that says that trust and peace go hand in hand. If you don't have trust, you're not going to have peace. If you have fear, how many of you have ever in fear and had peace at the same time? It doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. So I want to just share with you a several passages of Scripture. We're going to move on real quick, but share with you several passages of Scripture regarding the peace of God. And the peace of God is that spiritual state where no matter what's going on around you, it's okay. You have peace in your heart. No matter what people come into your sphere, people get in your face, no matter what's trouble you find yourself in physically, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whatever it is, there's this place of peace that you can abide in. That's the peace of God. And look at some of these passages. Romans 15:33. And now, may God who gives us His peace be with you all. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That should be a hallelujah. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Philippians 4:9. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So there's something we have to practice in order for that God of peace, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Do you know what I found in my own personal life? If God tells me to go in a direction and I don't go, guess what? I lose my peace. It's not that God doesn't still love me. He's just saying, Brad, I've got more for you. And if you want it, go after it. If you don't, I'm going to just hang back until you get ready. God wants to give you His peace. I ask people this oftentimes. So there's a way. What rules you, your thoughts? What gives you the impetus to make your decisions? Is it? Have you ever made any decisions in anger? How did that work out? Have you ever made any decisions in fear? Anxiety? Worry? Anger? How'd that work out? Yeah? Didn't work out so well, did it? No. When we make decisions in that area, it's not good. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule your heart. And so therefore, when we're making decisions, if we don't have the peace of God ruling us so that we can make the best decisions, we're not going to make good decisions. I have never made a good decision when I was frustrated, fearful, angry, irritated. It just doesn't happen. The best decision I've made when I've been there is just to shut my mouth. That's the best decision I've ever made when I'm there. But when the peace of God is ruling you, you can make wise decisions and you can actually live in the peace of God for days, for weeks, for years when you're in obedience and trusting the Lord. How many of you would like that? How many of you would like to walk in the peace of God? A few of you. Okay. That's
all five of us.
All five. All right. That's what God wants for each of us, is to walk in the peace of God. So, another passage of Scripture, and we've already quoted it, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So we'll go to the next one, Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ, back up one. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body and what you are called to peace, be thankful, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, or do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Second thing I want you to notice is that this God of peace equips you for service. The God of peace equips you for service. This word equips means to strengthen you. This word of equips means to mature you, to prepare you for service. That's what he's talking about, to make you complete and perfect. So, this passage of Scripture says that the Lord Himself is equipping you so that you can be a service for His kingdom, so that you can be a servant for His kingdom. He's already equipped you. He is equipping you. He's preparing you for service in His kingdom. And many times, we were talking about in Sunday school this morning in our life group, that many times people come into the church and they, maybe all the time, we come into church with the same attitudes we had before we met Christ. We come into the church with a selfish, what's in it for me kind of thing. And there's a change that has to take place in our heart. It's no longer what's in it for me, but there comes a time when we say, what can we do for others? And the Lord equips you so that you can be a minister to other people. You may not be a pastor, but He's given you gifts and talents. He's given you a whole host of things so that you can help other people in, mature in their relationship with the Lord. You already have it. You already have it. Now, there are a lot of people who make excuses why they can't serve. Do you remember Moses? He was brought up in the best schools. He was put in a leadership position as Pharaoh's stepson. I guess a grandson. And yet when God called him, do you know what he said? I can't talk very well. I can't talk very well. God, you're going to have to find somebody else. Because I can't talk very well. And I'm just not qualified for the job. He's 80 years old. You would have think his excuse would have been, I'm too old. Or I'd think that. This week I was blessed. We've been praying about someone to work with Good News Club come this fall because we have a ministry at South Prairie School. And actually a couple of people said, you know what, this might be something we want to do. And so they prayed about it, and God shared with them in a very profound way that this is something they want to do. How old are you, Bob?
75.
I'm not going to ask Caroline's age. Almost 75. And you know what they said? We feel like God wants us to do that. Praise the Lord. If no one had stepped up to that position, we would have lost that ministry at South Prairie School. And Bob and Caroline feel the Lord is leading them to do that. And rather than saying, I'm too old, I don't like working with kids. Now, we're talking about, what, second and third grade? They said, I believe this is what God has prepared us for. I believe this is what God has equipped us for, prepared us for. What a blessing. What a blessing. A couple of months ago, we needed somebody to do the outreach at the park. Oh, by the way, we have Ben Hur showing at the park about 9:15. This,
the new one?
The new one.
Yay, that's good.
9:15-ish at the park this week, this Friday night. If you haven't seen it, it's better than the first one.
Yeah, it is. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good.
I don't have time to go into it, but really good. And so I approached TJ and Dawn, and it's like TJ said, this is what God's been preparing me for. God equips you, and you don't even know what you're being equipped for. Yeah. He's preparing you. You don't even know what you're being prepared for. But you have to have a willing heart. It's important that you love people, but sometimes it's, you know, you have to go in even not loving, and God gives you that. The bigger thing is just be obedient. That's the big thing. And then God prepares you as you go. Moses said, God, I don't have anything to give except this stick. God said, what you got in your hand? He said, I got a stick. That's all I got, a stick. God said, throw it down. I'll use your stick. What do you have in your hand? What has God given you that He wants to use for His glory? What is it? Jeremiah said, God, I'm too young. I'm too young. You can't use me. I'm too young. Isaiah said, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm guessing he's thinking not everything that comes out of my mouth is good. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm getting. But he said, I'll go. And you know what God did? God cleansed his lips. God took care of that tongue problem. He said, come here, Isaiah. I want to take a coal off this altar. I'm going to touch your lips. And not only will you not speak what you ought not, you're going to start speaking what you ought to speak. We have all kind of excuses, don't we? We can come up with all kind of excuses why God can't use me. But the reason he can is because he's equipped you. And you won't know the equipping he's given you until you start working for the kingdom. Then you'll be surprised what he does with it. Let me tell you, there was one time when I was afraid to speak in public. Could not speak in public. I put off speech class till my senior year in college. I did not want to do it. And do you know how I got over my problem and fear of not speaking in public? You'll never believe it. I got Grandy. I'm able to speak through my little puppet. And so, because everybody's attention was on him, nobody's attention on me. And if he messed up, ha, so what? He gets the blame. Isn't that amazing? How God can take your weaknesses and make them strengths. Isn't that amazing? Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now say it like you believe it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've got this youth thing going on, trying to get our youth going. And so I approached Matt a few weeks ago. Matt, would you help with the youth? And he said, sure, what do I do? So here we go. A few months ago, Laura comes up. She says, Brad, can I help with the youth? Sure. God is just doing some marvelous, 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 marvelous things in our midst. And he has equipped you to serve. One of the things I will share with you is that we do a super book club, not only a good news club on Mondays at the school at South Prairie, we do a super book club here on Tuesdays about 3:30 when the children got out of school here. And some of the children from the good news club who are graduating from South Prairie and coming here, they're looking forward to the super book club, but last year, Jack and Bev were responsible for that. Did a marvelous job. How old are you, Jack?
Two.
Over 80 years old. And they're willing to serve. So we're looking for someone to fill those positions with the Super Book Club, because the health issues right now are not so that they can participate. They love it, but are unable to do it. So if that's just an area. It's on your communication card, by the way. Action steps, back down here. I would like more information about the Superbook Club if you were interested in that. Do that. Listen, if we don't reach our young people and our children at this time in their age, in their life, we may lose them forever. Yep. We may lose them forever. And you could be the one who, wouldn't it be neat to be the one who finds the next Billy Graham? Do you know who led Billy Graham to the Lord? I may be mistaken. A shoe cobbler named Dawson Trotman. No, I'm sorry. He was the something else. But anyway, it was a shoe cobbler. And you know, who knows? You could be sharing Christ with one of these kids, and it could be the next Billy Graham. It could be another evangelist. It could be another Pastor Brad. I hope something more than that. But in part of this equipping, God gives you a desire to do His will. God gives you a desire to accomplish the purpose He placed in you. Listen to this passage. Acts 13:36 says, "For after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." After David had done the will of his father, and God was completed with him, God took him on. You know what I want to do? I want to complete what God has for me. I don't want to live for myself. I want to complete what God has for me. I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I want to hear that. I'm not sure that every Christian will hear that, "Enter, well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm not sure that every Christian will hear that. Because if you're not serving, how are you going to do it? How are you going to hear that? Every one of us has a purpose in our life. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, somebody quoted it earlier. Romans 12:2. I can't hardly say two without saying one. Hold on just a sec. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do you think God has a plan for you? Do you think He has a purpose for your life? Brother Gary, God's got a purpose for your life. Sandy, God's got a purpose for your life. Doris, God's got a purpose for your life. Ron, God's got a purpose for your life. Every one of you, God's got a purpose for your life. And the greatest joy comes whenever you're fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Some of the greatest struggles come at the same time, but the greatest joys come at that time as well. God gives us a desire to accomplish His will. Here's the deal. I don't believe that a person who claims to be Christian can live as a non-Christian and enjoy it. Because God gives you the desire to live for Him. If you don't have the desire to please the Lord, you need to check up on your salvation experience. "Well, I prayed the prayer. Well, I was baptized." Well, good for you. But what's your walk like? What's your walk like? Do you have a desire? I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. I'm not there yet. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but there's going to be this desire, this holy desire within you to be better than you were yesterday. And your desire is going to be to please the Lord, not please yourself. Is that in you? Is that in you? If that's not in you, then you need to check up, because what happens when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and He transforms the desires that are in your heart. And then, not only that, He gives you the power to walk it out. And not only that, He gives you the power to serve others that you didn't think you could do before. It's not on you, it's on the Holy Spirit, it's on the Lord Himself, and all you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I'll let You train me. Yes, Lord, I'll be the best I can be as Your servant." Now, He has given you gifts But did you know that those gifts need to be matured and worked with and worked on, and as you do it, you get better at it. God equips you. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, God says this. God saved you by His grace when you believed. Grace. Not by works. He saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Say it one more time. Do you feel like a masterpiece? You are God's masterpiece. And He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So why were you recreated when you met Christ? So that you could fulfill the plans God had for you long ago. What? You mean I'm not just supposed to sit here in church and look good? No. He created you so that you could fulfill the plan He has for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God created you so you could fulfill the plan God has for you.
Amen.
So, God has given you spiritual gifts.
Amen.
God has given you a passion or a heart for certain things. God has given you abilities. God has given you personality. And God has given you experiences. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years. What in the world would a competent shepherd need those tools to lead a group of people? Because they're like sheep. God was preparing him all along. And he didn't even know it. And he would have never known it had he not been obedient to the Father. So the question you need to ponder is, what is God asking me to do? Not what has He equipped me to do, because you might not even know it until after you start doing it. What does God want me to do? Second question is, am I willing to do it? Am I willing to do it? Many of you here today have peace with God. But there may be some here who don't have peace with God. You've been fighting against Him. If you want God to be your friend, you have to quit resisting Him. You have to say, yes, Lord, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Yes, Lord, I turn away from the things of the world. Yes, Lord, I ask your forgiveness. I give my life to you. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. Some of you here this morning need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Others of you who have been a Christian for quite some time, you know that the Lord is asking you to step out in faith and do more than you're doing. This morning, don't let fear hold you back. Don't let those areas where you're uncertain hold you back. We like to play the what if game. What if it don't go well? You know, God can fix it. I've been pastor here for 26 years. Wonderful. Been the best part of my life. Do you know that I've made some mistakes as a pastor? Yeah, it surprises you, doesn't it? But this congregation is so gracious and so forgiving that even when I mess up, they're okay with me. And let me just say, if you mess up, they're going to treat you the same way that they've treated me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I thank you.